Medical research is rapidly approaching a breakthrough in the cure of the deadly cancer virus. But an outbreak of fearful, incurable sores, many times more horrible than cancer, is facing our modern world. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we continue the subject of the seven last plagues. In our last broadcast, we found out that these terrible judgments will be poured out on the earth after the close of human probation. Now, according to the Bible, friends, nobody repents while they suffer the excruciating pain of these plagues. And today we want to learn why a God of love and mercy will permit this kind of experience to cover the earth. Who will receive these plagues, and why will they receive them? Is it some kind of punishment? Well, let's begin our study with that fateful verse in Revelation 22, verse 11, concerning the end of probation. It says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Now listen, friends, when Jesus Christ comes, he finishes his work in the sanctuary, and then, according to this verse, a great decree goes forth saying that everybody's fate is now settled and sealed. And then after that, of course, the only thing that remains is to give out the rewards and also the punishment. And who determines what that reward is? Well, it says the reward is determined by the works we've done. And if we've done works of righteousness for Christ, we'll receive a righteous reward. Now, I'm not saying that we're saved by works, friends. We're saved by grace. But the judgment will take place on the basis of our works. We're told that in Revelation. If our works have been wicked, we'll receive the reward of the wicked, which is a final destruction in the fires of hell. Now, all that's necessary and is a part of God's great plan of getting sin out of the universe. See, this is a part of it. This business of hell, friends, and destroying the wicked people and everything that pollutes is simply a necessary part of the great plan of God in dealing with sin. God will not take a second chance for sin to rise again. God knows more about sin than I do, and when I read some of these things, I may not understand them. But, friends, I just know in my that God and his character is such that he cannot tolerate sin. And he's going to do whatever is necessary to remove sin, first of all, from our hearts now, and then from the heart of all those who are saved in his kingdom. And finally, of course, it will be obliterated from the universe by being destroyed in the fires of hell. And somehow in God's plan, he sees that it's necessary for these plagues to be poured out in his effort to eradicate sin. Now notice what these plagues will be like, friends. It says the first plague was poured out and a great sore developed. Boils came upon those who had the mark of the beast. Terrible boils. Of course, if a man has boils, we expect him to develop a fever. And in this feverish condition, we would expect him to want some water to drink. And the next one pours his vial, the next angel, that is, pours his vial upon the waters, and the water turns to blood. Now, God is just in doing it, friends, because we're told in the Bible that these people who have the mark of the beast were also those that were willing to spill the blood of God's people. They have wanted blood, therefore God gives them blood to drink. The second and third plagues deal with blood. The fourth plague deals with the sun. The sun is given the heat to scorch men upon the earth. And the fifth plague is a plague of darkness. Darkness so deep that men will agonize because of the plague that is upon them. And then the sixth plague is the plague that prepares a way for the final act of the great controversy. This plague turns loose devils to go out and deceive the world and call them to the great battle of Armageddon, called the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Spirits of devils are let loose under this plague. This is the sixth plague. Then the seventh plague is an earthquake. Lightnings and thunders, the Bible says. Cities of the earth are broken down by that earthquake, and hailstones weighing 57 pounds come falling down upon the earth. very, very destructive indeed. I don't know how many of these plagues are spiritual, friends, or how many are literal, but I do know they predict for us a time of terrible suffering and destruction as far as this world is concerned, when the powers of Satan will be let loose to bring destruction upon those who are under his power. When the Spirit of God is removed from this world and the restraint is removed over the evil tendencies of the evil heart, and that heart then becomes exceedingly wicked, and the devil will take possession of men. And through the work of Satan, many of these things are going to take place. I do know that there will be a terrible time of suffering. We're told in Revelation 11:18 that the nations were angry, and God let these things come upon those who were destroying the earth. When Jesus comes, this earth will be in a terrific state of destruction. The cities will be broken down. The fields will be parched. There will be desolation everywhere. Destruction, misery, sorrow upon those who refuse to obey God and who have rejected His seal. But now, friends, we come to the last question that we want to ask. How may we prepare to escape those plagues? The only way to prepare ourselves is to bring our minds and our hearts into harmony with God's great law through the grace of Jesus Christ. I read in Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now we find the contrast. Those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark will receive the plague. But in the last days, we find the saints of God, those who keep the commandments of God. It identifies them in contrast to the ones who receive the plagues. It identifies them as the ones who keep the commandments. So there's something about the keeping of the Ten Commandments, faithful obedience to God, that places upon one the seal of God. That's the way we receive the seal, by submission and obedience and living in harmony with God's great moral law. So the controversy is like this. You know, there's a seal that God has in His law. In these last days, He's trying to place that seal upon those who will accept Him and receive it. The devil is trying to place his mark upon those who are following him. Now, that's all involved, friends, in the keeping of God's great basic law of the Ten Commandments and our relationship to that law. For I read in Isaiah 24:4, and this is a description of the earth as it has suffered the plagues. It says, the earth mourneth and fadeth away, the earth languisheth and fadeth away, and haughty people do languish. The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants there, because they've transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Now, there's the picture, friends. Why will God allow this terrible curse to come on the earth, the seven last plagues? Because man has changed the law of God, has transgressed that law, has broken the everlasting covenant. And the whole world will be found guilty, except those who are classified as the saints of God. And the saints of God in the last days, according to the Bible, will be found keeping the commandments of God and having the faith of Jesus. They will stand upon the sea of glass. They alone will escape. Those who transgress will be destroyed, it says. They languish away. So there we find the secret of how we can escape, not by joining a church, not by just being baptized, although all of these things are important and necessary, but by living in harmony with the will of God as expressed in His great moral law of the Ten Commandments. If we are obedient, we receive the seal of God. If we are disobedient, we receive the mark of the beast. Now, the business of being obedient, of course, is rooted in our relationship with Christ. If we love Him, if we've been born again, if we've accepted Him as our Savior, then we will, of course, be obeying His law. And this brings us to the highest point in this series, because there's nothing so important for us to know and understand than what the seal of God is and how we may receive it. And there's nothing so important as to know about the mark of the beast and how we may shun it and not receive it. God has planned a way whereby we can escape these plagues. And I think that a psalm here fits in very well as the very best place in describing this. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now notice, friends, what will be our shield? What will be our buckler? His truth. And what is His truth? The psalmist tells us, all Thy commandments are truth. And in Psalm 119, we're told that the commandments will be our shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Friends, I thank God for that kind of deliverance from something so terrible as plagues coming on the world. I'm sure those plagues will come. There's no question about it. In God's plan of settling the wickedness of this world, the plagues are foretold. And just as surely as I know that the plagues will come, I know there'll be a place of safety for God's people. If we put our trust in God and make the preparation, we'll see it with our eyes, but it will not come near us. We'll have food, we'll have water, we'll have the things that are necessary for life at that time. And those who are faithful and live till Jesus comes will be translated without seeing death. That will be a glorious morning. But friends, we must not wait until these things begin to come on the earth, because then it will be too late. I want to remind you of this verse in Hebrews 3:15. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now, I think that's a verse for us, friends. Because I know what a lot of people are doing today, and you do as well. We look out in this world of ours, and we see people busily occupied in almost everything except getting their hearts ready for the coming of Jesus. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I'm going to wait. I'll wait until I see that first plague fall. Or I'll wait until I see the waters of Euphrates dried up. Or something else like that. In other words, one of the actual plagues beginning to fall on the earth. And then they intend to make their preparation. Well, I can tell you, friends, that when that happens, it will be forever too late to make any preparation, because probation closes before those plagues are poured out. That's why the Bible tells us that nobody repents during that time. They cannot repent because the door has closed and there is no more opportunity for making the decision to follow Jesus. We're told that the great high priest in heaven steps out from before the altar of God in the most holy place. And the prayers of God's people can no longer be heard, because He is no longer the high priest, but He is now the judge, and He comes back to execute judgment upon the earth. Well, the time to make our preparation is now, friends. It'll be too late then. Before the plagues fall, probation closes, the door of mercy will also shut. I suppose there were thousands that knocked on the door of the ark after Noah went inside. But the door was shut by the hand of God, and it could not be opened. The door of mercy will be closed by Jesus as He comes out of that sanctuary in heaven. And anybody that comes knocking then will knock on a closed door. Well, friends, I think of Noah and those who died in his day. Jesus said it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.